Chapter 12. Mrs. Telford's Story. It took them most of the day, but finally, on the 9th of March 1805, Anne and Jack Harding arrived at the Radcliffe farm. When Anne saw her mother again, she was overwhelmed with sadness. Mrs. Telford was in bed, with her eyes closed. Her beautiful hair was now long and grey. Anne took her hand and kissed it.
"Ma'am, it's me, Anne," she said softly to her mother.
Mrs. Telford opened her eyes.
"John, John," she said weakly. "I'm dreaming about my Anne. She's holding my hand."
"It isn't a dream, love," said Mr. Radcliffe. "This is your daughter, Anne."
Her eyes filled with tears.
"My beautiful Anne," she said. "You found me. And is William here too?"
She looked around the room.
"William couldn't come, ma'am," Anne said. "But he's also in Australia, and I'm going to bring him to you."
She turned and reached for Jack's hand.
"Ma'am, I'm married. This is my husband, Jack Harding."
Mrs. Telford's eyes shone. She tried to sit up and take Jack's hand, but she started to cough and fell back on the pillow.
"I'm going to take care of you now, ma'am," Anne said. "I won't leave you."
Over the next few days, Anne stayed by her mother's bed and took care of her. Slowly, her mother grew stronger. She began to tell her daughter about her life since that terrible time in England.
"I sailed to Port Jackson on the ship Britannia and arrived on the 18th of July, 1798. The conditions on the ship were very bad, and the jail at the colony wasn't much better. There weren't enough beds, blankets, clothes or food. After a month at the colony, I was sent with a group of convicts to work on a farm. We drove in carts through the hot desert, and I thought about the cold, rainy days in Durham and my children playing in the streets. I missed you and William terribly. I was employed as a maid in Farmer Gray's house. I tried to write letters to you, but it was hard for me. When Mrs. Gray rode to Port Jackson, I gave her the letters and asked her to post them to you at Mary's house. But she threw my letters into the bushes. I didn't know this until much later. The years passed and I never received any reply to my letters. Then she told me the truth. And I cried and cried. The convicts were desperate because of the hard work and small food rations on the farms in that area. So on the 5th of March, 1804, they refused to work. Soldiers arrived to punish the rebellious workers, and many convicts were killed. During the battle, my mistress became hysterical, and she didn't want any convicts near the farm. She pointed at me and screamed, "Get that woman out of my home!" I was immediately removed from the house and taken to a neighbour's farm to work as a maid.
"But your name was on a list of dead convicts from that farm, ma'am," said Anne. "How did that happen?"
"Maybe when the deaths of the convicts were recorded, the registrar listed the names of all the employees on the Greys' farm. They included your mother, even though she wasn't one of the dead," suggested Jack.
"What happened next? How was the new place you worked in, ma'am?" asked Anne.
"My new employer was John Radcliffe, a kind widower. He had two children, aged 14 and 16. He said he liked my gentle manner with his children, and he became attracted to me. He asked me to marry him, and I agreed. I knew that the governor would give me my freedom. Then I could save money for a ticket to England to see my children. After we were married, John helped me write another letter to Aunt Mary and you children, and this time I posted it in Port Jackson myself. It was the first letter she received from me. I had almost enough money for a ticket to England, but then I developed a very bad cough. I wasn't well enough to travel. All winter I was too ill to leave my bed. And then you appeared at my door with your husband."
Anne smiled and embraced her mother.
It was so good to see her again, but Anne was worried about her health. Soon it was time for Anne and Jack to return home, but they often visited her mother and John Radcliffe. Then, one afternoon, Jack returned from Port Jackson with a young Englishman. The man looked very strange. He had long red hair and a thick beard, and he was wearing Aboriginal clothes. Anne knew him immediately. "William!" she cried. They embraced and cried tears of joy and of sadness. Then, together, they went to see their mother. Mr. Radcliffe was sitting next to his wife. When he saw William, he stood up and gave him the chair. Mrs. Telford was sleeping, and her breaths were short and shallow. With great emotion, William laid his head on her shoulder.
"I've waited 7.5 years to see you, ma'am," he said. "Please don't leave me now."
Anne heard a noise outside. She was very nervous.
"Did anyone see you coming, William?" she whispered. "If they find you, they'll..."
"They can't do anything to me now," said William. He took 4 gold nuggets from a small bag around his neck and put them in Anne's hand.
"What are these?" exclaimed Anne in horror. "Oh, William, what have you done?"
"Don't you trust your own brother?" said William. "They're mine. I found them. I was washing in a river and I found hundreds of them." Anne put the gold next to him and looked at him sadly.
"All the gold in the world won't help you," she said. "You're an escaped convict."
Jack was standing at the door with an envelope in his hand.
"No, he isn't, Anne," he said. "Your brother's a free man."
He took a document from the envelope and showed it to her. It was a pardon from the governor.
Anne couldn't believe it. "How did you do this?" she asked.
"I took the gold to the governor," said William. "I walked right into his office with the gold in my hand, and nobody stopped me. 2 guards came to arrest me, but the governor waved them out. Of course, he wanted to know where I found it, but I refused to tell him. I said, 'First, give me my freedom, and then I'll take you there myself.'"
"So he gave you a pardon," said Anne in amazement.
"Yes, but that's not all," said William. "I've got some more gold in a safe place. It's enough to buy a sheep farm of my own."
He put some gold in his mother's hand and closed her fingers around it.
"This is for you, ma'am," he said.
She opened her eyes.
"William,"
she whispered. The deep lines on her forehead disappeared, and her face relaxed into a smile. Then she was still. Edna Telford looked young again and very peaceful.